I'm not sure if you are aware of this or not, but unless it's a leap year, which 2026 is not, there are 525,600 minutes in every year. And just think through that for a moment. Sounds like a large number of minutes in every year, but is it? According to a brief Google online search, the average person sleeps for about 175,000 minutes per year, eats for about 30,000 minutes per year. If you poo bear, it's a lot more, and spends about 53,000 minutes per year mindlessly scrolling social media. You might not do that, but perhaps you spend as long watching TV or doing other things that aren't necessarily beneficial. There's absolutely room for relaxation and rest, and that's very important. But let's think about how we spend our time. There's only so much time that we have available for us each year. Of course, these kinds of averages, how they actually apply to each of us will differ vastly from person to person, but it's worth taking a moment at the start of a new year to consider how we spend our time, remembering that every moment we have is a gift from God. I would say that 525,000 odd minutes in every year is indeed a wonderful gift, and it's plenty of time for us to do all sorts of good things if we use our time effectively. So how do we tend to use our time? Do we tend to work hard and rest well, being intentional with our time and viewing every moment as a gift from God to be spent glorifying Him as best as we're able? Or do we tend to squander too much of this precious and irreplaceable treasure of time that is given to us? Now, I would put it to you that gathering as we are doing right now and will do later this evening too is one of the very best ways that we can use our time. In fact, I would suggest to you that if we find ourselves too busy to attend church in the year to come, we're not using our time as wisely as we should. At the start of this year, as we commit ourselves to following God in the year to come, let's also commit ourselves to prioritizing church attendance. And those of us who are here, I believe, do that already. In thinking about the importance of gathering together as a local church, with the limited time that we have available to us this morning and over the next three Sunday mornings, we're going to be engaging in a New Year's series called The Building of a Local Church. Matthew 16, verse 18 tells us plainly that it is ultimately Christ who builds His church. But in His goodness and His grace toward us, He invites us to take the time to partner with Him in building His church, especially within the context of our local church. And to be clear, when we speak about a church in the true sense, we're not actually referring to the building where Christians meet, or in many cases, where Christians once met. Yes, we tend to call a building like the one we're in today a church, but actually from a biblical point of view, the church isn't the building, it's the people. So we are the church. There's the universal church that is made up of every true believer from every place all around the world throughout time, from every age. And then there are multiple local churches that are gatherings of Christians that are sprinkled all over the world and have increasingly been so since Jesus first gave His church the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. As we think about the wonderful privilege that it is ours of partnering with Jesus Christ in building His church on a local level, the question for us today is this. As the people of New Life Church, How are we going to use some of the limited time that is available to us in 2026 to build up our local church? As we think through this question of how we go about partnering with Christ in the building of our local church, we'll be looking at three important elements: believing, belonging, and becoming. You might have noticed that there's a lot of B's in there, which is actually quite appropriate because they're all about us becoming all that God has called us to be as a local church. This week we'll be looking at believing and the importance of our beliefs being rooted in truth. Next week we'll be looking at belonging as we look at how we're called to build together in unity, at which point we'll also be thinking a little more about what local church membership is all about. And then on the third week we'll be considering the theme of becoming as we consider what it means to build with purpose and to become all that God has called us to be as a local church. I'm sure that you would agree that as a local church, many fantastic things are happening and have happened over the last 37 years, but there's more that God wants to do in us and through us, and it will be wonderful to see what God can and will do if we press in to becoming all that He's called us to be. Well, as we turn to this morning's topic of believing and the importance of our beliefs being rooted in truth, I hope you're feeling a little hungry because we're going to be building a sandwich this morning that I hope will serve as food for thought in the coming week. We'll call it a belief sandwich, which isn't quite the same thing as a beef sandwich. But we're going to look at a belief sandwich. Now, as far as belief is concerned, we need to hear the right things. That's a little bit like the bottom piece of bread on which the whole sandwich rests. Secondly, we need to believe the right things. That's like the filling, the main event, if you will. And thirdly, we need to do the right things. That's like the top slice of bread that completes the sandwich. Hearing, believing, and doing. Today's challenge in a nutshell is this: keep hearing the right things, which is one of the reasons that it's good for us to prioritize the time to gather with other believers in the coming year, especially on Sunday, on Sundays as we gather together in ways like we're doing right now, but also by attending Life Group if you can during the week. So keep hearing the right things, keep believing the right things. We need to believe the true things that the Bible teaches us, which is more than simply hearing those things, and we need to keep doing the right things. There needs to be a response to that which is heard and believed. Starting with the filling. What we believe matters. But what matters more than simply believing is that we believe the right things. If we consider that for a moment, we can wrongly believe that the ice on a lake is going to be thick enough to hold us if we walk across it, or that a path continues over the edge of a misty cliff. If we believe those things and act on those beliefs, we will indeed find that a wrong belief leads to disaster. We need to believe the right things, especially when it comes to the things of God. And we know that in biblical times, as today, there are many things spoken and taught about God that simply aren't true. And that's one of the things that the letters in the New Testament deal with in great detail. We'll be spending time in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 during this series, which forms part of a letter of comfort and instruction written to the young Thessalonian church as they negotiated a painful season of sadness and persecution. Some had died, and Paul needed to point them to the fact that in Christ, that wasn't an eternal sadness. And they were also facing a great deal of persecution, which would have been very difficult indeed. But even in their pain and sadness, their right belief about Christ and the things of God was sufficient to carry them through any storm that they faced. That's why Paul was able to write in 1 Thessalonians 5, the first two verses, he says, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And a little later in the passage, Paul speaks about the contrast of light and darkness, the light of Christ, the knowledge of the truth in comparison to the darkness of not knowing the truth. And he says in verse 2, "But you were not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief." And that's the context of what's going on here. In speaking about the day of the Lord, Paul is referring to that great day when Christ will return in glory. And although that day would be a day of fear and dread for those who had rejected the truth, the Thessalonians knew that for followers of Jesus who had come to believe the right things about God, that day would be a day of great joy and hope, when pain and persecution and sadness would be eternally ended. And so Paul was able to commend the Thessalonians for being fully aware regarding the truth. Of course, Paul wasn't implying that the Thessalonians knew everything about God, but that they had come to fully believe the right things. And that made all the difference. It really matters that we believe the right things about God because He is God. And as much as we might like it to be the case, we don't get to choose what is true, and we certainly don't get to shape who God actually is, even if we believe the wrong things about Him. We've heard many people saying all sorts of things, even in our day, about God that simply aren't true. And it's almost like they're trying to force those things to become true. He's God. We don't get to determine who God is. And the question is whether we believe the right things about God or whether we've been deceived and are believing wrong things about God. So do we believe the right things about God? And are we fully aware of the truths that are presented to us in God's Word? But what if you don't know what to believe? Well, that's where hearing comes in. We need to hear the right things in order to believe the right things. Jesus addresses this in one of his great parables, and one of the best known parables that he told as part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the parable of the house that was built on the rock. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. 24 and 25 say this: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." And then, as we know, in contrast to what had just been said, verses 26 and 27 tell of the house that was built on the sand and fell with a great crash when the storm came. Believing the right things about God is like building deep foundations into the rock, which can only happen once we've heard what those right things are. And what's interesting about this particular passage is that it makes it clear that the words we need to hear are not just any words. They're not just good ideas. That's why we don't have a TED talk on Sunday mornings. We look at God's word to us. It's not just good ideas. We think about different religious leaders around the world, Eastern philosophers, and bring all these things in and consider ideas that have been considered good over time. It's not just any word that counts here. It's the word of God. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7 says, everyone who hears these words of, it doesn't say anybody, it says of mine, and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. If we believe everything we hear, especially in these days, we're in serious trouble. The words that we're called to hear and then believe are the eternally true words of Christ. That's also why we've got to be careful in terms of how much we listen to that isn't based on the Word of God. Yes, we can choose to relax and listen to podcasts and all kinds of other, philosophical ideas, but essentially, are we deeply rooted in God's Word and His ideas? And that's one of the reasons that we need to be rooted in the words of Christ. That my prayer is that you don't remember the words that I've spoken, but that you do indeed remember the words that Christ has spoken to you through me, and ultimately through His word. Romans 10 verse 17 makes the same point. Faith, which is of course connected to belief, comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If we don't hear and believe the right things, then we are like the one who built on the sand, which it might have been a fantastic looking house, might have even been a well-built house, but because it wasn't built on the right foundation, it didn't end well. And the Thessalonians were familiar with those who had built on the sand, as is made clear in verse 3, if you have a look at it. And believing the wrong things about God was a great problem for these people. From the point of view of a local church in Guernsey in 2026, it's important for us to remember that many in our local context don't believe because they haven't actually heard the true message of Christ and the Bible. Yes, they've probably heard random parts of the Christmas story, and they've tried to kind of piece together where Father Christmas fits into the whole thing. And they've probably read news headlines about problems within the church. Certainly in Guernsey and in recent times, that would have been the case in the UK. There's so many things around the whole world. There's devastating things that happen within the church. And for many people, that's all they know about God or about the church. And that's why we, as the people of New Life Church and of any local church, as the people of any true local church that want to glorify God, we're called to share the true message about Jesus with as many as will listen. Because many have heard all these things, but perhaps they've never actually heard the truth of the gospel. Romans 10 verse 14 says, how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Remembering that Christ is the head of the church, every true local church must be built according to his design, and that means preaching the true gospel. And that's why the teaching of sound doctrine according to God's word is so important in any local church. And as I've already mentioned, that's why so many of the letters in the New Testament deal with this issue of the need to preach sound doctrine. We don't just teach our own ideas. We don't just teach anything that we kind of think about God. We need to teach sound doctrine that's based on the Word of God. Even if it's something difficult to hear and to say, we need to root our lives in God's Word. The thing is, if people don't hear the right things, they can't move to a place of believing the right things. And so we need to hear the right things, which, as I said, is a little bit like the bottom of a sandwich. We need to believe the right things, which is the filling, the main event, and then the top slice to complete it all. We need to do the right things. This verse that we've looked at, Matthew 7:24, says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And this is echoed in James chapter 1, verse 22, that says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Now, the Bible makes it very clear, very clear that we cannot be saved by doing the right things. The Bible is absolutely clear about that. We cannot be saved by works. But the Bible is also clear about the fact that works and what we do and how we live should reflect what we believe. If we truly believe, we will want to respond. This is reflected in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, where Paul says, "Since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, that phrase, "put on," it's obviously an action. It's something that needs to be done. And so the challenge to us is that we take the time to do what needs to be done to be spiritually ready for whatever may pass in the year to come. We need to be spending time in on our own, reading the scriptures and spending time with God. And we need to prioritize gathering together in the way that we've done this morning. All of those things are part of us preparing ourselves, doing the things that need to be done so that we're ready for the spiritual struggle that the weeks will bring. As we close this morning, let's keep hearing the right things. Let's keep believing the right things, and let's keep doing the right things, remembering that as a local church, our faith, hope, and love, and everything good that we already are and are yet to become, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Which means that in the year to come, we can wholly lean on Him. If our foundations are in Him, no storm will tear us down, like that house that was built on the sand fell down because its foundations were not in Christ and in the truth. But if our foundations are indeed on the rock, He will hold us fast. And so, in the knowledge that all other ground is sinking sand, with grateful hearts, we come to sing once more. And that, well, as we come to sing once more, I would encourage us all to have grateful hearts as we think about these things. And then as we come around the table, let's celebrate the fact that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And we will stand in the year to come and forevermore. So we give thanks to God for all that He has done and all that He is continuing to do. Amen.